there's no business without people.
100%.
Right?
Agreed.
It's all, ultimately, it all comes down to people. All the services, all the products, they're for people. And we don't want to lose sight of that. And if we keep in mind, and if you really believe that the service or the product, or the business that you have is genuinely helping improve people's lives, even if you're B2B, you know, you're helping another business improve people's lives. You're improving the lives of the people who work in that business by making their business easier and more efficient and smoother to run. Like, it's that kind of perspective can really help a lot. Welcome back to the Making Money Podcast, where we talk about how to make more money, keep more of what you make, and make your money work harder for you. I am your co-host, as always, Benjamin Foss, and sitting across from me, as always, is the wonderful entrepreneur, business owner, and hair specialist, Paul Ng. Paul, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Ben.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. I have been enjoying warmer weather and shorts and muscle shirts and
my goodness, you've been having a blast.
All the things, although it's a little bit cooler today, so no muscle shirt for me. But we don't have a guest today for the first time in a while.
Shock. Oh my goodness.
I get to just chat with you for a bit. So
lovely.
I know. So this week I got Paul to pick some topics. So if the podcast is bad, blame him.
I picked a boring one. Sorry.
I'm kidding. No,
but we'll expand.
No, it's good. We're talking about some things just about life and business and things that will help you along your journey as an entrepreneur, because it's long and very difficult at times. And you know, we all have moments where things get really hard or just boring. And we don't feel the love or the joy or the fulfillment in our work anymore. You know, we feel like, and then you get you start looking over here, like that meme of the guy who's looking at the other girl and he's got one girl, you know, already. And you start looking like, oh, maybe that over there is good. Maybe I should do that. So Paul, talk to us a little bit, like, how do we find joy in our work? And especially when we're in a season where we're not finding that joy, where it's been lost.
I find it very easy for myself. I compartmentalize things. So when things kind of get boring, I kind of look into my little compartments over here and I pull something out. And sometimes it could be the thought of, I'm going to go back and take a class, and something really off the wall. It doesn't have to be related to accounting or hair or chickens or insurance or anything that I do. It could be something really off the wall, like basket weaving, even though I wouldn't do basket weaving. But, you know, as an example, something that would be creative but takes you to another place, so that you're not thinking about, so boring to talk about taxes and so boring to talk about doing hair and so boring, you know? And we kind of get ourselves into that complacent mode because that's what we do. We wake up. We start our day, whatever that day looks like. Some people it's breakfast, some people it's a shower, then a breakfast. But for me, the first thing I do every morning is I let the dogs out, and then I run upstairs and I start checking emails. And then the dogs come back in, and then I got to feed them. And then I feed them and I come back up, and then I start responding to everything that I've got going on in email-wise. And then I'll look at my phone and go, oh, a bunch of texts came in too while I was half asleep. Or, you know, we got to get ourselves out of that routine of, this is what it is every single day. One of the biggest reasons, I think, is because it starts to get boring and it gets mundane, and we don't have that vitality that we used to have in what we used to enjoy. And a vacation, that is another thing. You know, step away. And most of my friends would say, I don't step away. But step away and do something while you're on vacation that's something you would never do. And I don't take my own medicine. That's shame on Paul. Shame on me. Yes. But, you know, let's step away from that and go into the whole mode of I'm on a trip and do something that's more exciting, like zip lining, scuba diving, something that's not your everyday norm. Because my everyday norm doesn't include any of that. And I would never go on a hike. Anyone that knows me, I don't want any kind of attire that you can even hike in, let alone go to. So that's another thing that we can look into. It's about stepping away from what your day-to-day looks like, really, to get yourself, get those juices moving, get those things in your life that are things that you would never do, so it can make some thrill out of it, some scare out of it even, you know? I mean, it's good to get a little thrill out of yourself instead of, like, you know, giving thrills to other people.
So it sounds like part of what you're saying, like part of the goal or the trick is break up routine.
Absolutely.
Bring in something fresh and new.
Absolutely.
And yeah, maybe there's an element of like when you have too much time absorbed into too few things, you're like, you're too close. It's too familiar. All the, like, the more and more I drive, the more annoying all the other driver's habits are, right? The fact that people cut you off in traffic or drive really slow in the left lane or whatever the particular habits are that drive you crazy. And it's like, the more you're exposed to that, the more just it like builds up, you know, in your system. Whereas when you have a break and you step away for a while, then it's easier to appreciate like, oh, I actually do kind of like driving. And, you know, oh, this drive, you know, for me, I drive up in the mountains all the time and do and work, you know, do work up there. And I found that, you know, if I haven't been in the mountains for a while and then I get to go, there's some refreshment and it's like it renews the joy that I used to have when it was new, you know, when it was fresh. So it sounds like, you know, you're saying that part of the strategy for finding joy in your work again is to break up the routine, but also have space to step away so that you can forget some of the negative things and remember some of the positive.
100%. It's like they say, you know, step away from your computer every hour for a couple of minutes, or, you know, turn your head away from the screen every couple of 30 minutes or so. It really is that stepping away and letting yourself be free for a minute. We so often forget that we're not just here to work. This is just an experience. I tell everybody this all the freaking time. We're here for an experience. So what you get out of life is what you put into it. So if you're going to put all your life efforts into work, then all your life efforts is going to be work, right? But, you know, I look at a prime example. My sister, she's an empty nester, okay? And she gets to go vacation every couple of months, or she gets to go visit kids every couple of months. And now she's going to be a grandma, so she's going to visit the grandkid every so often. You know, how often do we get to enjoy life like that? It's your choice. It's not anybody else's choice to make but your own, right?
I think that really puts perspective in the entrepreneurial journey. And we've talked about this before, of being really clear about what your goals are. What is your goal and your ambition? And, you know, we had Seth on a couple of times in the last few weeks, and he talked about, you know, right now my goal is I got, you know, 5 or so years of really grinding and saving and building up. And then, you know, there's another season, there's another phase. But sometimes when you're in the midst of that grind, you're in the midst of the working so many long days and so many long hours, it can be easy to forget, like, why am I even doing this in the first place? And part of stepping away can be allowing yourself to be reminded of the why. You know, yes. Nietzsche famously said that a man who has a why can endure anyhow.
So true.
But sometimes we forget, you know, because we get head to the ground, you're working hard, you're caught up in the details and this thing and that thing. And so perspective, I think, is a big part of that. Again, finding joy in the work. Sometimes the joy isn't always in the work itself, but it's in the thing that you're building toward.
Absolutely. And sometimes we forget that bringing joy also brings a sense of success because you've earned it. Does that make sense? You know,
it feels more meaningful when you've worked hard for it,
yeah,
versus when it comes easy.
Absolutely. And, yeah, you know, putting all our strength into things and seeing that fruit of whatever it is. I mean, it could be like the fruits of your labor, or, you know, it could be literally fruits of demonstration to others. You know, the gratification. I think once you get that feeling and that actual gratification of accomplishing and being able to take those fruits with it and enjoy it, it's huge. And sometimes we get to this fact of stress, you know, and I want to really bring forth some good nuts and bolts to what stress is, because that's the part that brings us down. And a lot of times, and all the time, I'm going to say, misery loves company, right? And so when you're stressed out, you want to bring somebody else with you normally. And normally it's a friend or your spouse or your kids, because you got to barf this out to somebody.
Right.
You know, you don't keep it all bottled up, and people can tell when you're stressed and upset. And that's something that's, I feel most people see this in me, I'm going to say, is that I have a very calming nature about me. So I don't really let the stress get to me and bubble up and boil. And one of the reasons
you're very even keel. Actually, I've noticed, like, you're just, like, seems like the same no matter what's going on. Maybe, like, differing levels of fatigue, you know, like physical tiredness. Yeah. But no, I have noticed you are very steady as she goes, like, in terms of your mood, your personality. It's kind of impressive to watch, to be honest.
Well, thank you. That only happens in the work life. Other people see me when I'm upset, and it's short-lived. I don't get upset for too long. But it's really good to be able to keep emotions separate in your work life, especially when you have employees. I think that makes a big difference, and I use that word very strongly because the difference that everyone sees in an individual's personality is what makes us distinct and different. And when we bring in this high level of stress or this high level of anger or something negative, it really brings the mood down for everyone in the office.
Yeah.
Or it makes everybody want to walk on eggshells because you don't want to talk to them, primarily because you're afraid they're going to yell at you or something, right? Or they're going to snap and you don't want to be part of that soundboard where, you know, you're great conversationalist with them when they're not upset. But when they're upset, you know, step back because all hell raises. But right. For me, you know, I get upset and it's not too often. There's usually a catalyst that creates the infuriating noises that would come out of me. I'm going to use that because I don't really swear too often. So when it does happen and I do swear, you'll know I'm upset. If I just raise my voice, you'll know that I'm a little frustrated, and that's about all it is. But if you hear me swear, then you know something has triggered, and that's not a good sign. That takes a long minute to, like, you know, let's get Paul back to this versus, like, he's elevated up here and we don't want to be around him.
Yeah. Well, I think going back to kind of the original point that you made, one of the benefits of stepping away and having that refresh is to help keep all those emotions and those pent up frustrations at bay. Cause sometimes things do build up over time. You know, you encounter something again and again and again. And that's why it's one of the reasons why, like, in the context of romantic relationships, people often talk about the need to communicate and be very intentional about communication so that in the context of the relationship itself, those little annoyances don't build up and build up, and then it becomes a big fight and it's this big ordeal.
Seriously.
When it didn't need to be. It could have been a simple conversation that, you know, it's like, hey, you know, this thing really bothers me. Could you, you know, do something else or whatever? And, you know, you can't always have those kinds of conversations in a work context, but you can do things to manage things on your end so that they don't build up and then spill over and, you know, potentially get you in trouble or fired or even just be the reason why you don't get promoted and someone else does.
Absolutely. And stepping away, as we go back to that again, it helps for clarity's sake too. In all honesty, you got to have a clear head about yourself with whatever your situation is. I mean, it could be work, a personal life, whatever, but really having that clear headed mind so that you're not, like, bogged down again because something's stressing you out or someone's, like, really, it's your interference when that happens because you're not thinking clearly, you're not being able to make a sound judgment. And sometimes we make that impulsive reaction or the impulsive, whatever that impulse is, it's not always the best thing that comes out of your mouth. And sometimes we want to take it back and can't put foot and mouth in because it doesn't really work, even though we think it does, but it doesn't.
Right. So as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, you have employees.
Yes.
And, you know, there's an element where keeping those employees happy is really crucial to the productivity, for them doing consistently doing the job well that you have hired them to do, right? Like, you're not just giving them money out of charity, but you, because there's a task that you want to be done and done well. So how do you, in your business, I mean, we talked about sort of improving our own happiness in work. How do you go about help improving the happiness of your employees?
That's a good question and a tough one to answer. Really, it's trying to give your employees a compliments that help boost their ego. That's the very first thing. And they should be honest ones, really. We don't want to just give air. I think it's the only word to say it, air, fluff. Really important to recognize and acknowledge their accomplishments. Sometimes we forget what our employees are able to do and what they do well, because we're so busy pointing a finger at these are the mistakes that you did, and this is something I don't appreciate, and this is the consequence. And, you know, very recently I had that situation happen, and I had to I had to let my employee know that I'm going to let them take 2 weeks off for my choice so they can get clear-headed, so they can focus. And that 2 weeks now has turned into 30 days. Yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yes. So it'll turn into 30 days from tomorrow. So that would mean a total of 37 days, 39 days that they will have off unpaid.
Unpaid.
Unpaid. So why am I being so harsh? I'm actually doing this for a good reason, so that they can realize that the choice that they made that was more important than their work has caused a consequence. And I didn't fire them. I totally could have and replaced that person, but I decided, you know what? They have personal matters that they need to tend to, and I'm going to let them tend to it and let them realize, is that more important? And if that's the case, then you don't need to work. And I know work means an exchange of services for a monetary pay, which means all of us need that to take care of our bills or we're on the street, right?
Yeah.
So I have to look at it as, okay, well, will this person have the means? I have no idea. Does this person have the ability? Absolutely. And do I welcome them back when the time comes? Wholeheartedly. But at this very minute, I don't feel the need to bring them back, nor do I feel they're prepared to come back. So what does that really say? I have staff. I got upset. I done what I had to do. And this is either my consequence or my joy. One of the two has happened. And I really don't know what it is at this time, because I had to absorb that part of the work that I had given to somebody else.
Someone's got
to
do it.
Someone has to. And I thoroughly enjoy it. And I'm not afraid to take on all the tasks that I've given to other people. Do I have enough time? Absolutely not.
Right. That's absolutely why you've hired not. Them.
Exactly. And there's a reason why we need support. And one of those was through actually two or three of our guest speakers have talked about that. Angela was one of them.
Yeah.
You know, Seth over here is another one that, because it's expanding now. And then I'm not going to remember her name. Our third guest, but I don't remember her name. Very, very sweet gal. But anyway, she has her own business and she was outsourcing all this management stuff. And so anyway.
Allison.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's really good to be able to hone in and realize that the employees that you have and the support staff that you have, acknowledge them. And then also give the constructive criticism. We hear that stupid word all the time. What does it really mean? It really means try to explain things in a diplomatic way and make it so that it's a good discussion versus one that points a finger and says, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's not always somebody's fault. Maybe it's a training factor. But once again, those factors that we talk about here with staffing and keeping them happy, and you as the employer making sure that you're the wizard of all of this, how does that look?
I think you definitely want to be very intentional about praising the behaviors that you want to see repeated, right? Because we're all human. We respond to genuine affirmation, you know, and there's all kinds of stats how the ratio of positive to negative has to be a certain way for it, the positive to really stick. You know, it's like 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 positive to negative. It's a lot of positive that you have to keep that relationship good, and or to keep it in the way that you want it to be. And so being intentional, and people can tell, you know, when there's just someone who's just kissing their ass because, you know, that's just what they're trying to do, right? And it's funny because recently there was a lot of uproar and frustration with ChatGPT because they updated the personality, the default personality of ChatGPT, to be very sycophantic.
Mm.
To be very, you know, to use a less fancy word, to be a mega ass kicker.
Yeah.
Kisser.
Yeah.
And it was like to the point where someone was posted screenshots of how they were pitching to ChatGPT their idea of trying to sell poop on a stick. And ChatGPT was like, oh, this is a bold and unique vision, and you should throw 50 grand into this business idea, and you're going to stand out in the market. Nobody's doing this, all this sort of stuff. People see right through that, man. Like, you can't just be always positive, everything is going to work all the time, right? But when it's genuine, and when people know that your affirmation or your praise means something, it goes a lot further.
100%.
And so that's a really key and important point. I would say, you know, the other thing is like going to that constructive criticism point. I think it really comes down to is like, okay, an employee did something that was not the correct way, right? So then you ask yourself, okay, was this a breakdown in the training process like you alluded to? Is this a breakdown in the instructions? Are they not clear or thorough enough? Is this a breakdown in the work ethic on the employee part? So that's kind of where I like to start, is like, where was the breakdown that led to this? Let's trace it back to the source, because I don't want to criticize an employee for doing an interpretation of what they were told that was perfectly reasonable. Just the instructions were not very clear, you know? And then you can go, hey, this is my bad. I said this, and I should have said this. This is how, you know, it should be done in the future. And then you can take ownership of that. And then it's not even constructive criticism for the employee. It's you admitting to an error, which is something that I think builds trust in a relationship, while also helping to make sure that it gets done better in the future, right? And then if it comes down to an employee, like, lack of follow-through thing, I like to start with a question and be like, hey, you know, the task was this. This was not done. Like, can you tell me a little bit about, like, why that happened? And that can, you know, maybe – because maybe there's a genuine reason. Maybe there was a family medical emergency, or maybe they're just having a really tough day, and you could have a chance to be there for them and support them while also gently saying, hey, but, like, we really do need this to be done. You know, this is really important for us. So there's different ways to approach things to try and, again, maintain a healthy culture within your company, within your business, while also holding everyone to a high standard.
Absolutely. You know, a phrase comes to my mind from Eleanor Roosevelt, and she said, and this is paraphrase, no one can make you feel inferior unless you allow them. And that, I think, is very heartfelt to me. Because I was always told growing up, oh, you won't be a leader. You'll always be a follower. You're not going to graduate. You're not going to be able to do this or do this. And it was sad because I always thought of myself when growing up as I could be a somebody, but being told that you would become a nobody and that you would be a follower, never a leader, it empowered me to actually do the opposite. And I feel today, gratefully for where I am in my life today, that I can actually be the leader to so many people. And
so many chickens.
And so many chickens, absolutely. But be able to help those along the way, you know, and give the guidance that I was told that I'd never be able to do. And that's one of the things that relieves a lot of stress for me too. And I think in my field, as we could say it, because it's wrapped in the world of dollars and cents in everything I do. And being able to help coach people, to help empower people, to help teach people all sorts, beyond the accounting side, beyond the tax side, but being able to get in front of a group of people and teach them hair color techniques, or be able to get in front of a group of people and talk about how chickens can enhance your life. And people don't realize that, you know, the little things that we talk about can be an inspiration to so many other things, instead of just being the mundane, here's some information, go home and use it. You know, I mean, how far does that really go? I don't think very far, because it's a short conversation of, here's this, go home and read about it and figure it out. Or here's this, apply it to your life. That's great.
Right.
Are you going to, just because I told you to, or are we going to have a whole discussion about it and how I can help you along that journey?
Yeah.
That relieves a lot of stress, I think, for my clients and for my customers. A great example. So last Saturday, I gotta tell this tale. I was working at my salon, right? And there's a mother and daughter in there, and they're waiting to get their pedicures done. And I just happened to have a little break, so I walked up to the front. They're looking at our products, and I start talking to them. And I kid you not, I must have had a good 15-minute conversation with them about the different types of hair products we have and what would be best for them. And they were so intrigued, so they were getting their pedicure. And I was talking to the mother, and I said, are you happy with your hair color? Because I'm so bold like that. And she goes, actually, I'm not. And then I said, well, you know, when you're ready for a change, why don't you come talk to me? So I'm doing my client's hair, and then I'm doing another client's hair. And all of a sudden she goes, are you going to be here the rest of this day? Can I get you to do my hair? And I said, unfortunately, I can't. But if you come back tomorrow, and it's Mother's Day now, tomorrow is Mother's Day. And she says, well, I can come after lunch. And I said, well, my mother's in California and we're not doing anything, so why don't I do your hair? And so she comes in and I do her hair. We must have had the best conversation. And it took me about 2 hours because I was too busy talking.
Right.
But it was, I had taken all this stress away from her, because she was talking about how she was going through this change, as we'll call it, the adult womanhood change. And she was talking about how her hair is falling out and she'd put on all this weight and her hair doesn't feel good. It doesn't even look good. My skin doesn't, you know, the whole breaking down. And I just had this great conversation with her the whole time while I'm doing her hair and saying, you know, let me give you a little guidance about A, B, and C. And by the time she left, she walked out feeling like $1 million plus. And she couldn't thank me enough. She was going away on this trip with her daughter to the Caribbean islands for 4 or 5 days and blah, blah, blah. And I hope she had a grand time, because I won't talk to her again until probably Monday or Tuesday when she returns, because I wanted to ask her how her hair held up while she was in the tropics, basically.
Right.
You know, salt water, humidity, hair. I don't know. Can things go wrong when you like get your hair freshly colored and you dip your hair into the ocean? Just letting people know that don't do that. So anyway, I felt so great afterwards, because I was able to give her a little boost, give her some guidance. But being someone that can actually listen and help at the same time, versus just listening and saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Uh-huh, I agree. You know, I'm not there for the sympathy. I've really got the empathy going on for you, and I want to help you get to your next level. So that, I think, helped her relieve some of the stress as a client. But for me, it was also a great opportunity for me to just help somebody along the way.
I think that's a great point for the very first question about finding joy in your work. It's finding joy in helping people. You know, it's then that goes back to the why. Like, why am I doing this? Because I want to help people. I want to help people look good, and by looking good, feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, especially for like a lot of people, that it's something that it really affects their day-to-day life, where if they feel unattractive, it really, it affects their mood. It affects the way that they go about their day, the way that they experience their day-to-day life. And so you have an opportunity to go in there and help people feel better and have genuinely like a higher quality of life through that experience. And I think that is something that, you know, bringing those solutions and solving those problems, it helps you feel good too.
Absolutely does. And I love what I do. I love every facet of all the things that I do. And what I really loved about having that conversation with her is that she left feeling amazing. She left smiling and left educated. You know, how often do you have your hairdresser talk to you about all the products and what they do, and talk about your beauty and what people see when they first look at you. Because the first thing we see when you first see somebody like myself and I look at somebody, the first thing I see is their eyes, their head, and their hair, and then you move on to the body. That's the very first thing you see. And those are the very first things that capture a person's attention. And believe it or not, we judge just because of that. But I take that out of the equation when I meet somebody. Yeah, they may look like they're overweight, and yeah, they may look like a slob, but more importantly, I'm able to go in there with a smile on my face and genuinely greet somebody versus I have to greet somebody. You know, I love everyone that's around me, and I always tell everybody this is an outer shell, and we have to believe this, because if you believe this is not an outer shell and you believe your heart is not worth hearing, you're not the person I want to be around, and I definitely don't want to be around others that judge like that, because your heart is more important to me and your goals are more important to me. Whether you're shopping or whether you're my client in taxes or whether you're buying eggs for me or whatever it is, I want to be there genuinely for you, and that brings me happiness. And hopefully that relieves the stress of my clients, and hopefully that relieves some stress because I've got a sale. Because truthfully, that's what it's about, right, everybody? You're an entrepreneur. You're there because you're trying to provide a service or a product, and you're making a sale. So that ka-chink, and don't deny it, we all know is going to make us happy. But what makes me happier is that I was able to get to that person to their next level, and whatever that is.
And just remembering that there's no business without people.
100%.
Right?
Agreed.
It's all, ultimately, it all comes down to people. All the services, all the products, they're for people. And we don't want to lose sight of that. And if we keep in mind, and if you really believe that the service or the product, or the business that you have is genuinely helping improve people's lives, even if you're B2B, you know, you're helping another business improve people's lives. You're improving the lives of the people who work in that business by making their business easier and more efficient and smoother to run. Like, it's that kind of perspective can really help a lot. You know, it can help overcome all of the frustrations and the pain points and the long hours and the tiredness and all the things that come with entrepreneurship. Then the ups and downs is being able to see, like, I helped someone live a better life today. I helped make the world a little bit better, a little bit brighter for someone. And that's a really cool, meaningful thing. And I love that perspective.
I love that too. I love your hat. I've been staring at it this whole day today since I've been here, the whole day, the time that we've been
together. Yeah, the last hour.
It says, I'm not for everyone. That is so true. I am not for everybody.
I am not for everyone.
And I'm okay with that.
Learning to be okay with that. That is, you know, kind of off topic for the podcast, but I've had a kind of a recent thought of, well, we talked a little bit about it, I think, last time with Seth, about how, you know, in the eulogy, like, people will remember you for the distinctiveness. But also the thought I had sort of off of that, thinking about that interview, was letting your distinctiveness almost be like a litmus test for who, because, like, they're going to find that out eventually anyway, right?
Absolutely.
So lead with your nerdy hobbies or your 100%. Quirks or whatever, you know, within reason and to an extent, you know, like there's times and places for things, right? Like I don't talk about Dungeons and Dragons when I'm appraising someone's house, you know, usually. I mean, maybe if they have,
I don't know how you'd blend it in. I'm sure you could.
If they had something on there, you know, or if someone, like, you know, every once in a while I'll run into a fan of someone who's a fan of a sports team that I'm a fan of. So, you know, it's like you have this, you know, Chiefs flag on your wall. Like, I'm a Chiefs fan too, whatever. But the point is, I'm, rather than, you know, our instinct naturally so often is to see those parts of ourselves that we think other people may not like or judge us for, and to hide those away. And then, you know, like we say, put our best foot forward. But I'm learning to put my distinctive foot forward and lead more with the things that make me me, make me unique. And then letting that be the filter, the litmus test for who decides, hey, that guy is someone I want in my circle, and people who decide, no, that's not for that. That's fine, right? But that takes a lot of confidence, and it takes a lot of peace within yourself to say, no one can make me feel inferior unless I let them.
100%. I couldn't have said it better myself. I feel, you know, the out look that you project, people see. And people can usually tell how genuine you really are, you know, versus the whole fluff of, I'm just keeping the smile on because I'm miserable, but I'm going to keep smiling today because, you know, I can tell you how many times that in my working years where I worked for somebody else, I was told to keep that smile on my face just because. And I can't tell you how hard it hurt me because I'm not trying to say that, you know, go in and just let everybody see your emotions, but don't let your emotions dictate you is what I'm really trying to say. I'm trying to say compartmentalize that emotion and let your best foot forward, as you say, dictate you. Does that make sense?
I was talking to someone on the phone earlier today who's going through a really, really tough time. And I was just asking him like, hey, you know, how you doing? Are you holding up? He's like, and he literally told me, he's like, I'm not great, but I'm going to let myself feel it later. Right now I have a thing that has to get done and it has to get done. And then later I will let myself feel whatever it is that I need to feel. And you know, that might be a day of sleeping in. It might be, you know, something else, but like, you know, the time will come. And sometimes as adults, that's what we have to do, right? Like sometimes you have to grit your teeth, compartmentalize, as you said, push through the thing, but do that in a short-term way. At some point, those emotions, those feelings, you've got to let them out. You got to feel them. You've got to work through it in some way, whether it's lifting weights or therapy or, you know, a cry session with chocolates on the couch or
right.
However it is that you need to handle that, make the space. And that will help you in the journey of business and entrepreneurship to remember to be a human being and not just a human doing.
I like that. I'm going to use that one. I'm going to put that somewhere. Remember you're a human being and not a human
doing. Put it next to your honey dipped sword.
I'm going to put it somewhere very, very close to that. I love it. I love that.
All right. Well, I think this has been a good episode.
Talked
about some good, important things. And we'll get to more tactical business-related stuff at some point. But I think, you know, it's important to take time every once in a while, even on the podcast, to be human beings and to talk about what that means as we're pursuing our goals and why we're pursuing them. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that you got something out of it. What are things that you do to maintain your joy and enjoyment of your business and your job? And drop a comment below. Let us know what you think. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.